Welcome to Inclusion Catalyst with your hosts, Mickey Desai and Susan Cooper. We invite diversity leaders to the table to deconstruct complex social justice issues and showcase the best inclusion practices in our workplaces and our communities.
I'm your host, Mickey Desai. Very happy today to be speaking to Julie Kratz. Julie, how are you doing?
Hey, Mickey. Good to be back with you.
What are you working on these days?
Well, I'm really excited about the work I do with diversity and inclusion. I've been spending the last several years working with adults and corporations talking about inclusion and the importance of diversity, but now shifting gears a little bit to talking about it with what I'm calling little allies, the little people in our lives that, you know, they know a thing or two about inclusion. It's kind of a natural human thing that we unlearn, unfortunately, through the course of our life. So I just authored a book called The Little Allies to help have conversations earlier with kids about inclusion.
So this is specifically yours. This is not something from Next Pivot Point, right?
Yeah, it's something that hangs from the Next Pivot Point brand. So we self-published using the Next Pivot Point branding. So it is connected, but it's really where I think it's aligned with the work you do with nonprofit is realizing that this is missional work, that this is important work, and the corporate work pays the bills, but where do I really want to give back? And we're aligning the book sales online with nonprofits supporting this conversation with diversity. So there is this is a very personal and a very meaningful thing to help not only just, walk the talk, what I teach and talk about, but a meaningful give back to communities and most importantly, some amazing organizations and educators that are in this work every day.
Right. So I feel like this is my first stupid question of the day is where does the idea come from? I've got several questions to ask, but how do you boil all this down into a kid's book? Because the issues related to diversity and inclusion, like you said, as children, we're sort of hardwired to already be sort of inclusive and welcoming, and we have to unlearn it. So how do you write a kid's book to teach them about things that they are already doing?
Yeah.
Or is that a wrong question?
Yeah, no, Mickey, no, there's no wrong questions here. I think it's a kind of a conundrum looking at the situation. Kiddos get it, but they don't get it. I mean, think about the world that you and I grew up in. I was told, sexism, racism, all that stuff was over. Like, just be colorblind and like stay focused. And if you work hard, it pays off. You imagine our surprise when you enter corporate America. And it's like, not so much. So that was the message kids in the 80s and 90s very much got in the United States. And I think globally, that was very prolific. And if we don't talk about problems, we can't solve them, right? And so by keeping kids blind to these issues and pretending like everything's okay is really a really good, effective strategy keeping the status quo. And so if we start this conversation earlier with kids that the world isn't equal, right? That diversity is a thing because there aren't as many people of color in leadership positions. There aren't as many women, earning as much as men, for example, and LGBTQ+ and disabilities and other dimensions of diversity. If we start to articulate that to our kids, not to put the weight of the world on them, but just to say, hey, these are real issues. Mm-hmm. And our kids are, by the way, really easy to see that on a YouTube video. And of course, with the events of last summer, they're very visible to them. We can't keep them away from them anymore. We never really could, but we especially can't anymore. So just be forthright. Yeah. Just tell them be honest with them, tell them how it really is. And they will actually, this is the beauty to it, Mickey, through the story, they will see themselves in the story. I've had this personal experience with kids and they will naturally say, that's not right. You shouldn't do that. You know, as we're adults, we've seen that happen so many times that we unlearn the fact that that's inappropriate behavior and inappropriately condone it. So if we have this conversation with kids about situations that happen within the context of their own lives and what they could do to be an ally, to show up for somebody earlier, not only do they get that this is a problem, but I have a role in solving it, which is really powerful for a young person.
I think I understand, but I think I'm going to ask you to go over that again in a different way. And I'm thinking of my sister who is, who has a very young son. I think he's 6 or 7 years old. And the school where he's enrolled is going through some diversity and inclusion exercises these days. And my sister has certain misgivings about what they're asking people to do because she's realizing that her kid is already accepting and welcoming of everybody anyway, and she doesn't want to inadvertently teach him that there are differences. You're not saying that that's what's happening, though, right?
Yeah, no, I hear you. Like, I feel like sometimes we think by talking to kids about these issues that we'll create kids that start to see differences and act on those differences, right? Yeah, and I get that concern. Most of the research does not support that correlation, though. Mm-hmm. When we talk openly with kids earlier about differences, because they see differences. They see skin color, they see gender, they see different expressions, you know, kid with two moms, kid with a disability, they see these things. It's not that we don't want them to see those things. We don't want them to treat them differently based on those things. And so that two separate conversations are seeing differences and appreciating differences and seeing them as additive versus subtractive is the distinction here. And so I think leveling with kids and just pointing out differences, and I'm having some really robust conversations with my 7-year-old, so I can relate to your sister, about racism. You know, she's like, why would someone treat somebody differently just based on their skin color? I'm like, good question. You know, I don't know how to answer that question. I think that's absolutely correct. And that's the problem with racism. And so we need to stand up. Well, then she'll say, oh, I want to have more friends that are black and brown, because she's a white girl. And that can also be a little problematic, because then she's just seeking out friends just for diversity's sake. Right. So we have conversations about that. Yes, we want to have different types of friends, and we want to genuinely build friendships just based on things that you have in common or things that are different about them, not just because of their skin color. And so, yes, yes, and Mickey, it's a continued conversation with kids. But I will share one thing, that on the other side of that conversation with your kid, I promise you will learn something. My daughter said some really profound things to me at age 7. Love is love, Mom. Why do we care who loves who? Great point again, right? Or why would people be treated differently by the police? Great question again. And so she actually teaches me things that I know that I know, but I need to hear through that innocent perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. And all of a sudden I have a sense that we're teaching kids that we're teaching kids about a certain set of societal problems early. So my next hard question for you is, isn't that kind of a heartbreaking exercise?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause we want to protect our kids.
Yeah.
This is one of the challenges as a caregiver myself and a parent for a lot of the educators I talk with as well. We want to protect our kids. We want to keep them thinking that the world is a great place, that people treat each other respectfully, that if you just try hard, your work's going to get rewarded. These are the kind of messages that are framed for kids. And yes, I think protecting them is important and letting them have that childhood innocence of not realizing the weight of the world's problems. But if you can small dose it and just bite it into some bite sizes, and this is what we've done with the content with Little Allies, is not tackling all the systems of oppression that keep people down, rather to focus on the differences in the characters through all the dimensions of diversity. So kids can see a character that's non-binary on gender, for example, meaning they don't exclusively identify as male or female. If they could see a kid that has two moms, a kid with cognitive disabilities, a kid that's black and a kid that's Indian, and a Mexican-American girl as well. All these characters are represented in kind of short vignettes. And each character experiences what I call a microaggression. That's what I teach to adults, but it's simply a subtle little signal you don't belong. And y'all know you've experienced it. You can guess what they might be with the different characters in the book. And the lesson for kids is, yeah, kids might be treated differently based on differences, and that's not okay. And here's how you can step in and help. And in an age where bullying and other problems are rampant in school systems, this becomes a tangible tool to help kids have talk tracks, to help them have ally actions. And we have an ally promise where people can go through, can I listen to learn? I'm curious about differences, these types of messages. So it's less about, hey, you're a girl, so you're not going to make as much money as your brother over there. It's more about, hey, these are issues. And more importantly, here's your role and how you stand with others.
Right. I'm sorry, I had a delayed laugh there. It's like, yes, you're going to make less than your brother. And I'm like, my dark humor suddenly picked in there. So let's talk about the actual book. How long is it?
It's illustrated. So half of it's illustrations, but I think it's like 74 pages. So, wow. But it is It's like a 10 minute read as an adult. It's a fourth grade reading level. So if your kiddo is like K through three, you read it with them is the idea. If they're fourth grade, they can do a pretty good job reading it in 10 to 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. The real meat is the discussion guide at the end. There's 8 pretty profound questions to ask your kid about what they thought about the book. And that's where my friends have been like, whoa, that was a different conversation. But as parents, you don't know. Like I even do this when I share, you know, simple storybooks. Well, what'd you think of the book?
Yeah.
Your kid's like, it's good. I liked the character, or I liked that picture. You know, they don't give you tangible answers because you're not asking real questions.
Right, right.
You need to ask better questions as parents. And sometimes we're in a rush, it's bedtime. So you can just do one of the questions.
Yep.
I had several repeat readers of my friends. And one was a little white boy, which made me so happy because that he's not really reflect. And there is a white boy character, of course, but it's not central to the book. And boys are, white boys especially, are used to reading books where they're the star, where they're the protagonist. It's part of the issue with diverse book representation. So the design of the characters and the cast was very intentionally diverse, not just with race, not just with gender, but with all the dimensions of diversity.
I was going to ask, my next question is, can you tell us about the characters?
Yeah. Well, there's, so the main character, her name's Allie, and pun intended, Allie is spelled the same way. But it's kind of a surprise at the end, so I don't want to ruin it for anybody. One of my friends is like, I didn't see that coming. Their kid did. And it was just really funny. Again, kids see things we don't. But she's modeled after my daughter, you know, being a white girl that has great intentions, but doesn't know how to show up in these conversations. And my daughter's wrestling with these things. I mean, these are the vignettes, the 6 different experiences that she has with her other characters in her classroom are things that my friends or my daughter has shared with me, real life stories. Mm-hmm. One of my friends of color, her daughter was told in preschool through age 3 that she doesn't belong here. And it was very much because of her skin color.
Oh my goodness.
And these are things that are happening today. Right. And my daughter, I can speak to, has a, you know, a crush or whatever you want to call it. It's first grade, on a boy, and he's Chinese, American boy. And someone on her bus, I mean, this happened a couple weeks ago, said, you can't marry him. It's illegal. So these are real things that are happening. And if you think it's just Indiana where I live, the story I shared earlier was Connecticut. You know, there's no place that has this figured out. There's no place that can hide from racism and sexism. So your kids are going to have these things happen to them, unfortunately. And wouldn't you like to be ahead of it? So again, the vignettes are focused on a Spanish speaking girl that simply, you know, English is her second language. So she's quieter in class, and Allie just simply sits with her. And they share words. She teaches her Spanish. She teaches her English. So they share and they grow and they get better together. And that's the whole idea of all the stories is, now that I know about your differences, you bring more to the table.
Yeah.
I see this as a very positive thing, and I get to learn and be better, and you get to be seen and heard. So we're all benefiting from this allyship. And I think too, just thinking about like the moral of the story. So there's a biracial teacher. That's a man, which is extremely rare. I think 2% of educators are men of color in K through 12. And, you know, if you don't see it, you can't be it. And so that was very intentional to have Mr. Clark, kind of guide. He intervenes when the kids can't figure it out, of saying, hey, you can't treat somebody differently based on their skin color. So it is, kids are held accountable and adults have a role in the conversation. But he kind of summarized it as the end of he gives a lesson on what an ally is and what allies do, using Allie's story that she shares in class from the accumulation of those vignettes. And so my hope is that every kid can see themselves in the conversation, that every kid can understand how I can participate. And hey, this might be the way the world is, but we can be a part of making it better.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. I am eager to read the book. Let me think, there was one more question I thought I might have about the book. Oh yeah. So it's a story, a set of vignettes, and a discussion guide at the end, or at least a set of targeted questions at the end, suitable for individuals, suitable for classrooms. How do I find it? Where do I tell people to get it?
Yeah. I appreciate the question. Yeah, it should be a simple Google search. TheLittleAllies.com will take you right there. And Amazon's the best place to buy it. So again, all online proceeds will go to a nonprofit. So we're rotating different nonprofits that support this work with children. So just know this isn't a money-making initiative for me. This is really a give back to great organizations that are already doing this work.
Very cool.
We need more. We need more of them. So check out Amazon, Little Allies, or thelittleallies.com. And we also post regularly on Instagram. So be sure to follow us there at The Little Allies.
The Little Allies. I can't wait to read it. Julie, always a pleasure to have you on mic with me. If a listener wanted to ask you questions about your adult work and learn more about Next Pivot Point, how would you suggest they find you for that?
Yeah, nextpivotpoint.com. And you can find, it's directly linked to Little Allies too. And my email address, julie@nextpivotpoint.com. I always respond to messages personally. So I'd love to hear questions or thoughts that you have about the book or how to bring this conversation into your organization.
You can bring your stories to the table as a partner and a host on the Inclusion Catalyst podcast. Visit inclusioncatalyst.com and click the link that says join us as a guest host.
And that's it for this episode of Inclusion Catalyst. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe and share with your friends and colleagues.